Now, as we continue, of course, you've been following us. You might have noticed that, of course, the whole of this month, we are discussing and looking at International Women's Day. It's the International Women's Month, and we're discussing a lot about women who are actually making changes and impact in the society. Now, this is the fourth episode of our series on women who are producing knowledge about communities through research. Now, the knowledge they generate is important for understanding our diverse lives as South Sudanese so that socio-economic policies can respond effectively to our needs. Now, Elizabeth Konkong, researches earth in Greater Pibor, and she went to find more about artistic journey of Murule women in Greater Pibor. She's part of the South Sudan Women's Researchers Network, a program by Rift Valley Institute supported by the European Union delegation. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming to the Miraya Breakfast Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, just briefly tell us about, you know, what you do. Elizabeth, you've just done your field work in Greater Pibor. Tell us about your experience in gathering information for your work in the area.
Yeah, it was very adventurous. It was very exciting. While gathering my information, I was received, and the women were very happy that someone is interested in the way they communicate, mm-hmm. in the culture. So I was received very well.
Great. Now, why did you choose to focus on arts among the Murule women?
I chose it because I realized there's very little information about the Murule women, especially regarding their culture and the way women choose to communicate. Mm-hmm. I realized that the Murule women have efficiently used arts to communicate and express themselves, and it's widely understood by everyone in the community.
Great. Tell us briefly about what your findings are when you're there. When you say they have used art to communicate, what exactly do you mean? Explain more on that.
Okay, so the art that I'm talking about is songs. Is longoditong. Longoditong means the scarifications.
Okay, longoditong.
Yeah, longoditong.
Longoditong.
Yeah.
Okay, what does it mean?
Scarification.
Okay, yes.
They have also used beads a lot. And
like the one you're putting on your neck.
Yes,
okay, what does that communicate?
The one I'm putting on, it's communicating beauty, and it's also communicating that I care for myself.
Okay, that's
yeah,
good.
And it's communicating that this one specifically is for my father's generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, for your father's generation, not your generation.
Not
here. So, so you're putting on that previous generation. How different is that when it's the current generation? I wish I could see the current generation.
Okay.
One, but just you can explain to us.
So, current generation is the latest generation. They're called Kurenen,
mm-hmm.
but I don't put them because I'm not married to them.
Okay.
I'm not yet married, so I put on for my father.
Ah, okay. So if you marry the current generation, and then you put also for. Okay, sounds great. Now, talking about ads, and many people, of course, don't understand the messages that they send. So on a general terms, what art forms did you find out as very popular among the Murule women? You did mention, of course, about the beats, about the songs. Any other arts of communication?
Hairstyle.
Hairstyle.
Yes. Murule women use hairstyle a lot.
Hmm.
Yes.
What are the different hairstyle and what do they actually mean?
So, when you see a woman, you can tell that this woman is married,
mm-hmm.
because of the hairstyle she's plaiting. You can tell she's mourning.
Hmm.
She's a widow, or you can also tell that she's very happy in her life, or you can tell that she's dating somebody.
Ah, okay. So this really sounds good and a very interesting conversation here. Now, could you go through what those are? Like, if someone is mourning, in other cultures, you shave the hair like completely off, so like the people have bald head. How about with the Murule community?
The Murule community, especially when the man has just passed away, they don't plait their hair,
mm-hmm.
they don't comb it, they just leave it until they discuss who to inherit, because they inherit women.
Mm-hmm.
Women. So before they inherit her, she will have her hair open. So before the inheritor, that's when she will cut off the hair. But before she cuts it off, she has to leave it open.
Okay, just like in the morning state, it has to be there, like not worked on, basically.
Not worked on.
If single, for example, what hairstyle do one have? Don't tell me your hairstyle.
No. Well, when a woman is still single and maybe searching, she will play hairstyles that can show the men that she's single, she's searching for something.
And what are those hairstyles?
Very
just
tiny.
In case some people want to go to the Murle land and so they can know.
Okay, so they will play very tiny hairstyles, very tiny, and are very attractive. You can see from afar that I'm looking for somebody.
Oh, that's great. Now let's look at the importance of this kind of understanding ads and the way of communicating. How does that, you know, like empower women on the ground, basically?
Yes, so of very recent, before women, Murle women were not invited in meetings, they cannot talk in meetings, but in 2017 something came and changed the history of Murle women. It's called the Kabarze. Kabarze actually, it means a virgin, but it was mothers who came and said, you know, that time the two youngest age sets, they were fighting. And these women were like, every person walking in here came out of a woman. They'll listen to us. If they don't listen to the authorities, they don't listen to the organizations, they'll listen to us. And indeed, the women went out there, they danced. They danced naked. And the women, the boys were very scared of this, and they laid down their guns. They didn't fight up to today in Mbibo town because of the women.
Wow.
So the organization saw this, the authorities saw this, and they're like, let's give these women power. Let's give them a chance. And for the first time in history, Murle women are invited in decision-making, not from the government, not from organizations, but as women. And now they have their own center.
Oh, great. That sounds really, really very interesting, of course. And as you visit there, you've been doing your research in that area. You've been talking to a lot of women, I do believe. Now, in your interaction with the women in Greater Pibor, what was interesting or unexpected for you in the way Murle women expressed themselves through art?
The way they expressed themselves, first of all, I used to think all the longodito, the beads and all these things were because of age sets. But it was so shocking that the women do it also for themselves. They do it because they love themselves. They're also doing it like they're independent women, in as much as women are supposed to depend on their men, but they don't fully depend on their men. And they do it through the way they sing, through the way they, even the dress code.
Great. Now, this year's theme for International Women's Day strongly makes a mention of the importance of investing in women. How can Murle women be supported in their art? Is this something that you, you know, while you spoke with them, what are some of how can they be actually supported, and what do you think are the missing links really there to make, you know, the community and especially the women empowered in that area?
Women can be empowered because these women, most of them, they make beads, these necklaces, and they sell them. But no one really. It's not established. But I think if it was established, it would have been a very good thing to support these women. And then these women also have songs. They have songs, but they don't record them. I recorded some of the songs that they sang, like during the times of the struggle. I wish these songs don't die with them. I wish they stay with us too.
Definitely needed to be documented.
Yes.
And recorded in a better studio and all that.
Yes.
Now, as we conclude this conversation, just briefly about your research journey, tell us more about the support that you got from the South Sudan Women's Researchers Network.
Oh, I received a lot of support. I got trainings that I got knowledge that I didn't know before, and I met very strong women that made me believe that I can be what I want to be. It's possible. And I got, I've attended workshops, I've attended conferences, and I believe there's more to come. Like this opportunity, it's from these women.
Absolutely. Now, Elizabeth, just before you go, of course, what are your inspiration in this research work in the near future, and as well, what's your message for the International Women's Month?
Okay. I wish to do more research, not only about women, but of course mostly about women.
Mm-hmm.
And my outcomes would be poems and writings, which I like doing for women. And to the women out there, I wish women don't fear to take up spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I wish women will know their worth everywhere, and I want them to not be afraid to be bigger than they are today.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for coming to Mirai Studios, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.